Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Soldier Today Podcast is a product of the Non-Commissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Director at the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. Our newest discussion topic today is Civilian Aides to the Secretary of the Army, or CASAs for short. Just before World War I, the Military Training Camps Association began a training program to train leaders for the Army. The MTCA suggested that an inner group of civilian aides to the Secretary of War could benefit both the Army and the Association. Then in 1922, the Army formally recognized the training program and the civilian aid concept. In 1950, Secretary of the Army Frank Pace Jr. redesigned the program to meet the Army's growing need for contact with grassroots opinion throughout the country. Civilian aides to the Secretary of the Army, or CASAs, are business and community leaders appointed by the Secretary to advise and support Army leaders across the country. CASAs are a special government employee who agree to serve as representatives of the Secretary of the Army without salary, wages, or related benefits, and are offered a three-star protocol status. Since 1950, more than 500 persons have served as civilian aides. So this is a great subject to discuss, and the best person to have the discussion with here in our virtual studio today is civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army, CASA Ken Wong from the Greater Philadelphia area. CASA Wong, it's great to have you in the studio with us today.
Thanks, SMA Daily. Appreciate the opportunity to come on the show today and have a conversation.
Well, we really look forward to it. I know our listeners do as well, and we look forward to hearing from you, and we hope you're doing well after this great Memorial Day weekend, and we hope all is going well in the Greater Philadelphia area.
Absolutely.
I thought we'd begin with a few questions to help our listeners get a better appreciation for the CASA program. Can you tell us a little bit about the Civilian Aid to the Secretary of the Army program and what it does for our Army, its soldiers, civilians, and families?
Absolutely. As a CASA and this program, our real job is really to be that connecting fiber between the American public and the Secretary's office, and to be able to support our soldiers, our general officers, in some of the mission that they have in the country. We're the conduit, so information comes down from the Secretary and from all of our office, great officers, and information goes up. The Secretary wants to know, you know, what is the American people thinking when it comes to our Army. So here we are. We're the connectors.
Wow, that's great. And these CASAs are all over the country. Is that correct?
They are. And over the years, the program has grown because as the American population will grow in certain states, they'll increase the number of CASAs in those states. For example, here in Pennsylvania, one point in time, there was only three CASAs. Now there's five because in the cities of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, where we have a critical mass of population, the Secretary felt that he needed more CASAs in those particular areas to be able to make sure we're not leaving any stones unturned.
Well, that's great. And it's great that we have all these community leaders out here that are willing to support our Army and support our Secretary. And since 1950, more than 500 individuals have been appointed to the position of civilian aides to the Secretary of the Army. Can you share with us what it takes to become a CASA?
That's a good question. You know, I don't think anybody wakes up and says, you know, I want to become a CASA and I'm going to start doing all the things in the checklist that would make me be qualify me to become a CASA. I think one of the first things that it takes to be a good CASA is you really have to be a great American. You have to love this country. You have to love our Army. And you have to love the values that the Army lives by, because it's important that as a CASA, you're representing those values, those same values that our soldiers live by. And you have to be able to give up of your time. Sometimes it feels like a full-time job, but it's a passion of love. What it takes to become a CASA, just being a good American and being willing to connect the Army with our American public.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome that we have, again, volunteers throughout our country that are willing to do this for us. Now, recently, our team at AUSA published an article in AUSA Extra about the great things our CASAs are doing in response to the current pandemic, COVID-19. Our listeners can read that article in the publication section of the AUSA website. But can you share some of the great work going on in the Philadelphia area in response to our current crisis?
Philadelphia is an interesting city in that we don't have any major Army installations close by. But when this pandemic hit, the Army Medical Corps came in and helped to support some of the hospitals in the Philadelphia area. The presence of the Army personnel in uniform in their capacity as healthcare professionals. They came in and did a great job, and the kudos and the compliments and the things that were said about our soldiers right there on the front lines, shoulder to shoulder with the healthcare professionals here in Philadelphia, was outstanding. We had a visit from Lieutenant General Richardson coming in to talk about what the Army was doing in Philadelphia. And she was great. The media really had some great things to say about her and our soldiers. So there's just been a ton of things that the Army has put their best foot forward on in Philadelphia during this current crisis.
Yeah, I just want to touch on one point you made there, because I think it's so important, is that you use the word comforting and when they see a soldier in uniform. And that's exactly right. I mean, in any crisis, the symbol of American freedom, the U.S. military person in their uniform, is very comforting to the American public, and just their presence alone. But we know they're doing more than that. They're helping our civilian medical personnel and establishing hospitals. So thanks for sharing that with us, Casa Wong. You know, one of Secretary McCarthy's priorities for the civilian aides to the Secretary of the Army is to support the Army recruiting program. And Casa Wong, what does the CASA program bring to the Army recruiting community, and how has the relationship developed over the past few years?
Well, as local community and business leaders, we are basically the boots on the ground. You know, our recruiting command, you know, we have our recruiters and the leadership of the recruiters, you know, they PCS in and out. But we are the constant sustainable force, you know, on the ground in the community that connects our recruiting command and recruiters to key influencers in the community, whether it's a legislator or a business leader, you know, any of the people in the faith-based community. We help the recruiters find where those opportunities are, and we basically open up the doors for them and let them come in and tell their Army story.
Well, that's amazing. I just want to personally thank you, because I know how involved you are, and I've been in the city and I've been with our recruiters when I was on active duty, and I couldn't find a single recruiter that didn't know you by name. Thank you, Casa Wong, for all that you do.
Sure.
Your energy is amazing, and it's infectious in a good way. So thank you. Casa Wong, if you're okay, I'd like to shift gears a little bit and ask you a few questions to help listeners get a better appreciation for who you are. Casa Wong, can you share a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you do?
Sure. I'm a born and raised kid from Philadelphia. My folks immigrated to the United States from China and went to school, you know, here in Philadelphia, had a great education here and went off to college. I've always had great respect as a kid growing up for a lot of my friends' fathers who had served in World War II and in the Korean War, and many of the young men that went off to the Vietnam War. If there's anything in my life that I regret, it's the fact that I did not have the opportunity to serve. Unfortunately, when I was in college, as a college athlete, I got injured and hurt my knee pretty badly and had it get it surgically repaired, and it did not allow me to be qualified to serve. So I've always looked for opportunities to serve the community, and when the opportunity came about to work with the Army in the recruiting side, I jumped at it. Didn't take me but a millisecond to say yes. And it's funny because the person on the phone said, "Well, sir, I didn't even have a chance to describe to you what your responsibilities or what your obligations would be." I said, "It doesn't matter. Whatever I can do to help, I'll be there. I'll make the time."
And just to make a point for all of our alumni out there, Casa Wong is a Penn State alumni, which my son's graduated from. So great to be out there in the great state of Pennsylvania. And you really answered what was going to be my next question is, you know, how you became connected with the Army and what brought you to. But if you could elaborate on that for us, Casa Wong, about what was the connection? How did that establish between you and the Army?
Well, you know, it really goes back to my parents. You know, my parents risked quite a bit coming to the United States. They didn't have any real English language skills. They really only had but an elementary school education. And as a young man growing up, I asked my father, I said, "Why did you risk so much coming to the United States where you could have probably gone to another country in the Pacific Rim when it might have been a lot easier for you to establish yourself?" And he said to me, "You know, your mother and I came to the United States because we wanted the opportunities and the freedoms that this country could afford our children, even though we didn't have any children yet. We knew we were going to have children. And this is what I heard in China about this country." And as a young man, I realized, you know, all this is not free. It's not free. And interesting that we're speaking the day after Memorial Day, on the day when we honor the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice and paid the price so that we can afford to live the way we live in this country. So I always felt as if it was out of honoring my parents to help and serve our military and particularly our Army. I actually learned just a few years ago that I had a great uncle that actually served in the Flying Tigers in World War II. And eventually, when the Flying Tigers were dissolved, he was a tail gunner in the Army Air Corps. And another uncle that served in the Marine Corps during World War II also in the South Pacific. So I can't even imagine how difficult it was for an Asian American, a Chinese American, to be serving as a Marine in Marine uniform in the Pacific. So there's a lot that I am very, very thankful for. And I'm always thankful to the men and women in our Army doing all the heavy lifting.
Well, we're appreciative of what you give our Army, and we appreciate the story and sharing that with us. And as a Sergeant Major of the Army, I had the opportunity firsthand to observe some of the phenomenal work our CASAs do throughout the country. And so can you share with us some of the great things that you've worked on in the Philadelphia area?
Sure. You know, over the years, there have been so many great events that we've had in Philadelphia. You know, one of them that comes to mind is that, you know, we had an opportunity to, for the first time ever, raise the Army flag over the City Hall in Philadelphia. And the young captain in the reserves who was responsible for this was very excited about having this event and raising the flag over City Hall to commemorate the Army birthday. And I remember him calling me up and telling me how excited he was. And I said, "That's great, Captain. And what else are we going to do?" And he said, "Well, what do you mean, sir?" And I said, "We're going to do this, but we're going to do this in a big way. We're going to celebrate the Army birthday. It's going to be a bang." So I was able to get Major General Muth, the commanding general for USAREC, to be willing to come to Philadelphia. And he brought the undersecretary, now Secretary of the Army, McCarthy, you know, also. And then Secretary McCarthy brought Lieutenant General Smith from the IG. And so we were able to connect with the mayor of Philadelphia, the president of city council, city councilmen, state representatives, local congressmen, and the leadership of universities and major influencers throughout the region on that particular day, because we were able to have some of the great leadership of the Army there. But what we do as CASAs is to be able to try to make those connections at those levels to support our recruiters. At the end of the day, the recruiters are doing all the heavy lifting. They're doing the day-to-day work, but it's up to us to create those opportunities and open the doors. So I think as one of the more recent events that we had, and of course, we're there in Philadelphia for the Army-Navy game and root on our victorious Army teams. There's a lot of things that go on in all the cities, and including Philadelphia. It's really a day-to-day work to look for those opportunities and then just make those opportunities happen.
Well, we appreciate what you do. And I've personally been to a lot of the events that you've helped to organize and put on there in the greater Philadelphia area, and they're always world-class. And for all of our listeners out there, if you had an opportunity, Philadelphia should be on your bucket list, especially during historic time periods of the Army's birthday and Flag Day and Independence Day. They're just... it's the founding father's original location to start our nation, which really shifts me to my next question. You live in one of the most historic cities in America. Philadelphia is rich with history and culture that dates back to well before the founding of our nation. And I know our listeners are curious and would love to hear from a lifetime Philadelphia native. Can you tell us a little bit about Philadelphia and answer the most important question for all of our listeners out there? Where's the best place to buy a cheesesteak in Philly?
That is probably the most asked question, not only from Americans, but from our international visitors to Philadelphia. Now, this is a real science. Depending upon the neighborhood you're from, there's always, you know, the favorite local cheesesteak joints. Mm-hmm. But for me, there is a place that has been around for about 60 years in Philadelphia called Delisandro's. Delisandro's is the area that you walk into, can't be more than 100 feet, but at any given time, there'll be 100 people standing in line waiting for one of their famous, delicious cheesesteaks. And Sergeant Major, next time you come to Philadelphia, I'll take you there for one of their famous cheesesteaks. I've probably taken 100 different soldiers there over the time I've been working with the Army. And in addition to presenting them one of my own personal challenge coins for a job well done, it also comes along with a cheesesteak.
Well, I'll definitely take you up on that offer. And I'm sure, you know, there's the line a little bit longer right now with social distancing. But Philadelphia is such a rich city with history, from Independence Hall to the Liberty Bell to the birthplace of the cheesesteak. It's a wonderful city. And I think at one time you said, Casa Wong, it's a great little town.
It is. It is. Everybody knows everybody.
So, Casa Wong, it's a pleasure to have you with us today to share your insight on the CASA program, and we greatly appreciate it. I'd like to give you the last words. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to provide our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for the opportunity. The Army has always been one of the most consistent institutions in our American history. And during World War II, the country was living under the Chinese Exclusion Act, which was enacted in 1883. However, during that time period, while the country was still living under that particular law, of the eligible Chinese and Chinese Americans that were able to serve, 20% of those Chinese and Chinese Americans served in our U.S. military. And of those 20%, 70% of them served in our Army. The Army gave these men and women of Chinese descent an opportunity to prove their loyalty as Americans. So much that in 1943, because of so many Chinese serving honorably and gallantly, in 1943, Congress eventually repealed the Chinese Exclusion Act, which was very, very important. And during that time, many of the Chinese who were not citizens that served, 40% of them weren't citizens, but still served in our Army, were able to obtain their citizenship through their service. In 2018, Congress unanimously approved and authorized the Congressional Gold Medal to be presented to those Chinese and Chinese Americans that served courageously in World War II for our country. And it was signed into law in December of 2018 by the president. Just as a bit of history and what the Army has done for many of the Asian Americans here in the United States, it's given them that platform to show their loyalty to the United States. And, you know, you can see that in a number of the other Asian American communities, Japanese Americans, the Filipino Americans. So, again, I want to thank the Army for everything that it has done in the past for our country and what it will continue to do in our future.
Well, Casa Wong, thank you for sharing that story. And what a great example of the melting pot that we are as a nation and all those who have contributed throughout history to what we have today. Our time has come to an end. And to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast, all of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank CASA Ken Wong for joining us today and sharing some of his very insightful thoughts. We can all be proud of the civilian aides, the Secretary of the Army, and all they do each and every day in communities across our nation to support and uphold the traditions of the United States Army. Thank you to all of our CASAs for all you have done and continue to do for the U.S. Army.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.